All right. Good morning. Man, it's really fun to be in here. I've not been with you guys for too long, and I'm just energized. And so anyway, it's really sweet to be here. If I don't know you, my name's Kyle Thompson. I have the joy of serving as one of the elders of Watermark. And I want to just reiterate what JJ said, just the thankfulness of moms. And I think the older I get, the more respect and appreciation I have for moms. If you're a mom, hold your hand up, please. I'm not going to make you stand up, but I would like to just celebrate you guys again. I got to spend 3 days with three moms that are the most significant moms, with exception of one, in my life. I got to spend time with my mom, who's been a mom for 64 years. I got to spend time with my wife, who's been a mom for 34 years. And I got to spend time with my daughter, who's been a mom for 2 years. And so it's really a sweet... I've done a... God has transformed me. So 30-some-odd years ago, when my wife became a mom, I remember the first Mother's Day, and some of you guys, husbands, this may be the first one, and our son was, just a couple of years old, and Mother's Day passed, and I celebrated my mom, and Lucina, at the end of the day, was kind of sad, and I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Well, it's Mother's Day." And I looked at her, and I said, "Well, you're not my mother." And... So I have gone through regen. I think, how stupid was I? Oh my goodness. So anyway, one of the things that Lucina and I had the real joy of is getting to help launch and start the Frisco campus. And we made this. This was back in 2018, and the Frisco campus was our primary campus for almost 2 years. And one of the things that that I love is that the folks that started the campus, I knew a lot of those people, the leadership of the campus with Connor and then with Jeff Hewitt and Hunter Ramsey coming on as campus shepherds. I've known and done ministry with Jeff and Hunter for over a decade, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But it was really in the spring of 2020, a little over a year ago, that, and this was really right before the COVID deal started, that Lucina and I got a level of clarity that there's a depth of leadership in Frisco that they didn't need us to be here. We loved being here. We live about a mile from the Dallas campus, and so our kids are at the Dallas campus, our grandkids are at the Dallas campus, and so we transition back. But I've continued to have close ties with Frisco, and it's really, really been fun. My widowed mother lives in Frisco. She's been a member of Watermark for, 9 or 10 years, and this is her campus. She lives about a mile from here, so it's really been fun too. Just with all the ties that God's given me to this campus. What I'm going to do this morning is just talk briefly about, from Watermark's standpoint, how we think about campuses. And Connor touched on some of this last week, but I want to reiterate a couple of points and then mention a couple of other things that he didn't say. And so just to back up, Watermark was started about 22 years ago, and our heart has always been to be God's church. We know that Jesus is the head of the church, and it's to help people become fully devoted followers of Christ. It's to help them in a way that their devotion to Christ impacts every aspect of their life, that it's affected by everything that they do, and that full devotion is normative. And that as we as we follow Christ, we're really doing two things. We're deepening in intimacy with Him so that He can continue to sanctify and transform us, and we're loving the people that God puts in our path, okay? And so that's comes out of Matthew 22. It's in the Old Testament. Jesus is repeating when they ask which is the most important of the commandments, you know, loving God and loving the people that He puts in your path. I'm going to put my glasses on. I'm like, this is hard to see. Well, no wonder I forgot to put my glasses on. So, and we know that loving the people that God puts in our path really starts with our home, our family, our mothers, spouse, our kids. It permeates out from there in our neighborhood, the folks that our kids go to school with, the people that we work with, the people that God puts in our path that we're around every day. And, you know, sometimes what happens is when we are part of a local church, this was true for my mom, then we can sometimes move but continue to go to that church. There are also situations where there are people that are connected to a local church, and in our Metroplex, which is huge, we drive, you know, 15 or 20 miles, which is very, very normative. There's no exception for that. And so when we find ourselves in that position, we may be willing to drive 20 miles to church every week, but our neighbors, the people that we're engaging with, the people that we're loving and ministering to, may not necessarily be willing to drive 20 miles to be able to avail themselves to the different ministries that we have for hurting people. And so we love it when we get to take the local church to the community. And so rather than ask the community to drive, you know, 20 miles, we want to do everything we can to love the people that are in our midst. And so Watermark has done this, as you guys know, a number of times, where people that live in different parts of the Metroplex have a community of members where they're being the church in a way that's distant from the Dallas campus. And that happened in Fort Worth. I was part of launching the Fort Worth campus. I spent a lot of time going back and forth over there and helped it in a way that it became strong and healthy and faithful and sustaining in a way that it was time for it to be its own local church because of the impact that it was having in people's neighborhood and community there. I was part of launching the Plano campus. We had a campus there for a number of years. And as that began to grow, and we seeded that with about 300 members from our Dallas campus. And so it just became clear and obvious that the best thing for that campus was become its own local church, because they were doing everything that the local church does. And so we also are starting right now a Rockwall campus that is just barely in the incubation phase. Some of you all have met the folks that are starting that because they've been hanging out here with you just to see how Frisco is developing ministries locally, how we're connecting and engaging with the community. And so that's a normal process. It's a healthy process. And when that happens, really what we're trying to do is find ways that we can give direction, support, resources, and leadership. And so that's why Lucina and I were here for a couple of years. So we were trying to help in ways that would give us clarity on how we could do that better. And so as you guys know, Fort Worth became independent about a year ago, Plano at the end of the year, and then obviously the process that you all are in right now that Connor shared with last week. And so one of the things I thought it'd be good for you to look at, you probably don't regularly look at our doctrine in different venues. Most of you looked at it when you joined as a member. Some of you, as you explore membership, you're looking at that. But I thought it might be good just to pull that up and show you what our doctrine says on the church, and specifically the local church. And so it says, we believe the local church is an assembly of professed believers in Jesus Christ who are voluntarily joined together in one locality, okay, you see it there, for the purpose of worship, study of the Word of God, observance of the ordinances, Christian fellowship, equipping for and practice of the kingdom service, specifically stewarding our lives for the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. Connor talked last week about just Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and so you see how that's happening here, how you all are doing all those things in one locality. And so that's been a process that's been going on for some time. And we determine when a church is ready to take the next steps to become its own local church. And I want to just briefly touch on the things that we're looking for that help us see, hey, it's time to let this church operate independently and on its own, knowing that there's always going to be a close connection. I still engage regularly with the leadership and some of the members at Fort Worth. I do the same thing at Plano. We actually will sometimes swap on teaching and doing different things. And so we continue to have a close relationship, but now it's as really sister churches rather than being one church. And so that's the vision for Frisco as well. There'll always be some level of connection, hopefully, that we have because we're trying to be the church in our city. And so the more we can lock arms and encourage each other and help each other, then that's what we want to do. And so there's really four things that we look at. The first one is the man that God will use as a senior pastor, along with the men that he will use to share that elder leadership with them. And you see this in Titus 1. You see it in all the way back even in Acts 14. Sometimes we talk about Acts 20, but you see it all the way back in Acts 14 where they're appointing elders in every church to lead. And the third is the team of women and men that will be the leaders of leaders that help disciple and shepherd the church. That's the 2 Timothy 2:2 that Connor talked about last week. And so the great thing is Frisco has a deep bench of leaders that are discipling. They've been doing this for a long time. I had the joy of getting to serve and lead with many of the people here over a decade because we were doing it together in Dallas before Frisco was a campus. And so the fourth is just the financial independence. And we want to make sure that a campus is allowed and is able to flourish, that it can sustain based on the resources that God provides. And you can just jot down Acts 2, 42 through 47. That's really a passage where you see how the members of a local church provide resources in a way that sustains that local church. And so as we thought about all of those things, and we were having discussions about this way back before Lucina and I even transitioned, just the path that Frisco was on to be launched. Number one, I'm excited about Connor's leadership. You all have had the benefit of sitting under his teaching. I had the joy of getting to serve with Connor in Dallas. I actually, Connor and I go back really to right after he graduated from college. So Lucina and I, my wife and I, got to do Connor's premarital for he and Allie. Connor and Allie lived with us for a period of time. And so Connor did ministry in another city. And when they moved back, they lived with us for a season. And then I would take Connor with me to Fort Worth as I was spending time with men and women over there. And he participated in some of that discipleship. And then we got to do that in Dallas. And then when I came to Frisco, I got to do it with Connor up here. And so I love that I have a deep relationship and friendship. And more than anything, I've got to see Connor's faithfulness, just not only in college, but right out of college. I think about, you know, Luke 2:52 talks about how, you know, and this is Jesus, Luke 2:52, verse 52 talks about how Jesus grew in stature and wisdom and favor among men. And I've gotten to see Connor progress and do that. And as I said, I've known Jeff Hewitt and Hunter Ramsey for over a decade. We've gotten to do a lot of ministry together. We've jumped into some very difficult situations. Hunter and I had one, I don't know, Hunter, it's probably been 11 or 12 years ago that we spent a lot of time together with a couple that was going to through an extremely difficult time. And so I love that I have a history of serving with them, not only in Dallas, but also I've gotten to do that here as we've been a part of discipleship groups. We served on the campus shepherd team together for quite a while. It's been fun because when I was ordained as an elder of Watermark 21 years ago, I was the same age that those guys are now. And so we've talked about just that life stage that they're in and just how pivotal that was for me, just in the way God used that to accelerate my growth and expose things in me that he really hadn't before then. And then thirdly, Lucina and I got to lead with many of you. I know a lot of you. That's why it's fun to be back here. Lucina got to lead in the women's Bible study and help get that kicked off. And we were just talking a couple of days ago just how she was saying how she missed, you know, as you get older, you're not needed as much. And because there's faithful men and women coming up behind us. And so just how she missed that time, the rich time that she had with those women. And then fourthly, the Frisco campus has shown through the giving of the members that it can sustain itself financially as a local church, and it's done that. And Connor talked about that again last week. Obviously, the timing of what's happened with Centennial is significant. We wanted to make sure that as Frisco launched, there was as much stability as we could lend to it. And so that's been a help. If that is what ends up happening, and I know as you guys pray and as they pray and just make sure that it is affirmed by the people of God, then that gives us that much more comfort, especially on that piece. And so, but we do see a critical piece of all of this in God's affirmation and timing through the people, and that's you all. And so I think it's so appropriate that you all are praying and you're wrestling, you're asking questions. Hopefully those are not new questions. As you go through and do that, you're going to have a perspective that may be different than ours. And so if God can use that to grow and expose anything that would encourage us to slow down, we want to do that. We know that we know it's not good to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footstep errs. That's Proverbs 19:2. And so we don't want to do that. We want to have the full knowledge and benefit of the body that's here. And so I'm going to ask Jeff and Hunter to come up. They're going to provide some additional information. It's really fun to be with them because I get to be with them all the time. Jeff and I jumped into a situation 3 weeks ago with a couple here that's going through a really difficult time and just wrestling through how we could better love them. In the midst of all of that and just thinking through the fact that every situation's different. We never want to institutionalize anything we're doing. We want to allow the Spirit and allow Christ and God's Word to guide us in what we do. Hunter and I talked just a couple of weeks ago about just how he was actually sharpening me just in how I'm leading right now. And I need faithful men in my life, both in community and men, women that I've led with to help grow and sharpen me. And so I'm excited that they're a central part of this and let them speak to you now. You want me to move this?
I got it.
Right. Hey, I may be old, but I'm still do this.
Thank you, Kyle.
I've gotten to know Kyle over the last, like he said, 12, 13 years, and he truly is one of my heroes. And so it was an honor just to be able to serve under him for so many years. I love getting to hang out with him and talk to him. So thanks for leading us out this morning, Kyle. First off, like Kyle said, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. We love you guys, and we know that what you guys do is a lot of hard work. And so that a lot of times might go unnoticed. And so we appreciate all that you do. One thing Jeff and I talked about that would be special for our wives was to invite them up on stage and have them talk a little bit and introduce themselves.
Come on,
kidding. That would be a good Father's Day gift, maybe. And so we did want to acknowledge them, though, and just say happy Mother's Day. So we're excited to be here this morning. I know there have been a lot of two big announcements over the last couple of weeks. And so one of those is really exciting. And so we want to continue that excitement, answer y'all's questions, and go through a couple of those in a little bit more detail. Some of the frequently asked questions, the top three or four, and just dive a little bit deeper into those.
Great. Thanks, Hunter. So yeah, happy Mother's Day. I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom back there, and my Aunt Linda's here as well. So happy Mother's Day to you as well. We know that this time right now, you've got a lot on your plate. We've put a lot on your plate over the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, we talked about leadership changes in Dallas. And then last week, we talked about this opportunity that God's put in our hands to join with Centennial Church. And so that's a lot to process. And as we've been praying about that for the past 6 to 9 months, and specifically with Centennial since January, we know that you here today haven't necessarily been a part of that journey with us. And so we know that there's a lot of questions, that there's concerns, that folks are still trying to figure out how they feel about this. And we get it. And we're going to do our best to make ourselves as available to you as possible over the next 3-4 weeks as we process through this decision. If you haven't already, we've had, I guess, Tuesday, as we talked about the schedule, can you throw that schedule up here one more time, if that's possible, of upcoming events? But we've had a handful of events over the last 2 weeks where we've talked about, we just kind of had a small forum where people can pepper questions, and we take time to answer those, and then obviously sit around as long as we need to after that and continue to have conversations. We have one more of those coming up on Tuesday, 6 o'clock in the morning, as JJ mentioned, and then there's going to be a chance to get to spend time, I think it's on the 16th, and that's not up here, but a chance to spend time with the people of Centennial, which I know that's not necessarily a time to ask questions as much as it is to see, is an opportunity to see God move in the hearts of the folks in Centennial, in your heart, how he's knitting folks together in community. And so just know those opportunities are there. Also, we're obviously going to be down front after this service. After the second service, so this service, we have another service coming up at 11, so we can't stay here all day, but we can meet you after, and we'll be here as long as we need to be after the 11 o'clock service. So we want to make ourselves as available as possible as you guys process through this and think through how God is leading your heart in this. But it is a really, really, really exciting time as I think about just how we've gotten from 2.5 years ago to where we are today. And I'm just reminded of, it feels like, I know we're using a lot of Old Testament kind of imagery as we talk about this opportunity that God's put at our feet. But it reminds me of just the Israelites, just following the Lord. Like I feel like we are being led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And I think about Psalm 5:3, where the psalmist says, I lay my prayers before you, Lord, at the beginning of the day, and then I expectantly watch. And that's what I feel like is happening since the beginning. And just like the Israelites would, God would do something miraculous in their midst, and they would pile up some stones as an altar, and it would always say, so that you can tell your children and your grandchildren about what has happened here today. And I know we have some piles of stone, if you will, even in our brief history, and I just want to walk through a couple of them as I build up to the exciting things that God's doing, and then we're going to answer some of those questions. But I just kind of jotted down in my notes, just bullet, and I could have, had 20 things on there where I feel like God has just blessed us immensely and miraculously, but I'm going to pull out a few of these. Just to start, if you don't know me, I'm a consultant, right? And I go into companies, we put together timelines with milestones and key activities and deliverables, and we work towards those things. We're trying to get somewhere, and we carry it all on our shoulders, it feels like sometimes. And so when this process started with Kyle Kegler over in Plano, who was going to help us launch, he's the pastor over in what is now City Bridge, used to be Watermark Plano, and he was going to help us plant this Frisco work here. We started getting together, having conversations, and I said, Kyle, I'd love to get 2 hours on the whiteboard with you and put up that timeline and those milestones. And some of you have heard me tell this story, and because that's how I think. And Kyle says, well, actually, I think what we're going to do is we're just going to email the families that live in this area, and we're going to get together and we're going to study 1 Timothy together. And I said, okay. But after that, we'll get the timeline and the milestones. I couldn't understand, how that would help us move towards that triangle out there on my timeline of getting Watermark Frisco launched. And what I learned a really important lesson through that, and this is what I feel like I've seen God do numerous times and continue to teach me, and I'm sure many of you, was that Psalm 5:3, I put my prayers before you and I eagerly watch. And so we saw God knit the hearts of those families together. I think all but two families, for good reasons, decided that they could sign on the dotted line, you remember that, Rimza, and say we can go do this in Frisco. And then what are we going to do about a leader? God brings along Connor. Kyle already told a lot of that story. What about a place to meet? I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys have heard this, so I'm not going to drain this bullet again, but before we started meeting in this high school, Frisco ISD would occasionally let a church meet in an elementary school, and you could use the gym cafeterium, and your kids could hang out in the hallways, and you could never really facilitate church in an environment like that. And so when we came along, and after 10 years, the school said, yeah, you guys can meet in the high school, and you know what, you can use the classrooms, and you can hang your stuff up from our, whatever this Martin calls this flyaway space up in here, and just things that schools have never let churches do. That's miraculous. That's a pile of stones, right? And then I just think about the things that have happened since then, and I just kind of jotted down, amazing and faithful lay leaders, Regen and Regeneration, and those ministries changing lives, and we're seeing life transformation occur because of the faithfulness of the folks that are sitting out here today. Communities enduring with one another, wrestling with one another, and coming out of those situations looking more like Jesus. Life transformation is occurring. And then the amazing staff that God has brought together to help facilitate and give that ministry away. All those things are just miraculous when I think about it and I take a step back and I look at where we are today. And, we didn't have to necessarily do anything from there in terms of, joining with the Centennial or finding a permanent place to meet. When we looked back at what God had done, and we thought, and Kyle talked about this a little bit, over the last probably 12 to 18 months, I think we've all come to the conclusion that all things constant, a local independent church is better than a satellite campus. Don't hear me say, this is sin and this is not. They're both good options and they both have their purpose. But at this point where God has us, this is going to be better, right? And we've all come to that conclusion. However, that was a long time ago that we decided that. And we've been praying. But we've also just been waiting. Once again, Psalm 5:3, waiting for God to do something. And we looked at each other around Christmas and said, hey, God has given us all we need. We could do this for another 10 years, moving in and out and just, reaping the benefits of what that does for our culture and for our hearts to be doing that and moving in and out of a building, and how God's using that to make us more like Jesus. We could keep doing this. And ministry is flourishing. People are transforming. People are becoming more devoted followers, deeply devoted followers of Jesus. We're in a good place. But God, brought this opportunity in a miraculous way because of Connor's faithfulness of leaning in with Ross over at Centennial and loving him well. God blessed that through that channel that we have this opportunity today. So really exciting.
Yeah. I think about someone said on Wednesday night when we were meeting with us to do the Q&A, they said, hey, I feel like the seas have been parted and people are going through the Red Sea and on dry land. But some people are back saying, hey, I don't want to get my feet muddy. And we don't want to be those people. We want to go through and the seas have been parted. We want to remind you guys that what God has brought to us is 10 acres in Frisco, a building in Frisco, and 50 people, a part of that other body, to come alongside to shepherd with and be shepherded by, that are faithful, who love Jesus and love following his word. And so one of the things really we want to, reiterate is just the excitement that we truly have. I'm excited about the opportunity. I'm excited of where God is going to lead us. But at the end of the day, no matter what happens, we know that God is still on the throne. We know that he is going to be in control, and he's going to lead us where he would have us go. And so with that, a couple of questions. So the few questions that we're just going to touch on, a few of them, is the first one is, shouldn't you guys be older? And so, yeah. I know Kyle said this earlier, but 22 years ago, he was 22 years younger also, and so were all the other elders. And so we don't get this question that often anymore about our youth, but we appreciate the question truly. And I think if I was in your position, that would probably be a question that I have as well. And so for us, the best answer that we find comfort for us is going to be found in 1 Timothy 4:12, which says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And so that's one that we go to and say, Paul is writing Timothy, and he's saying, hey, don't let people look down on you for your youth. Timothy was probably about our age. Maybe a little bit younger, but he was around our age, so we take comfort in that verse. And so that's where we go to find comfort in answering that question. Another one is going to be Psalm 119, 98 through 99. I think I have that one up there, which says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for it's ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. And so what that really is saying is, hey, life stage and experience shouldn't be the main thing. What should be the main thing is reading and applying God's word. And so a case in point is going to be Paul. Paul's writings on marriage in the Bible. And so Paul was not married. And so, but we use that often, and they're truth, and it's God's word. So also, we need to remember that young leaders are not a danger to the church. What is a danger is bad leaders, and what God looks for is faithful, available, teachable men and women to raise up and be his church. We want you guys to be blessed and honored to follow us as we live out 1 Corinthians 11:1, which says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So if I'm not doing that, don't follow me. If I am, please follow me. And so we want you guys to feel blessed and honored to follow us. And remember that the filter we use when looking for those faithful men is, does this bless the body?
Another question that we've got that I'm just going to piggyback on what Hunter talked about is, what does an elder look like, you know, here at, what will be this new work that God is putting together? I want to throw up, just, I think we might have had it earlier, maybe not, but Titus 1, 6 through 9, up here on the screen. So this is, you know, one area in Scripture where Paul or the Bible provides some criteria for what an elder should be. And it says, hey, if anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers, not open to the charge of debauchery and insubordination, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. And so when I read that, you know, if I hadn't told you, except that it says an overseer in there, if I hadn't told you that those were requirements for an elder and that that's the context of that passage, I think that you would probably think, hey, that's God's calling for everyone, every man's life sitting out here today, right? And there are lots of men sitting out here today, and I could call you by name, but I'm not going to embarrass you, that are living this out in ways that can be followed. They're imitating Christ, and we should be able to follow them. But that's the calling for an elder. Practically what that looks like is, it looks like, I just kind of wrote down, practically what that looks like for us today is, you know, the most important thing that we can do is the most important thing that you can do. Once again, it's just to shepherd one another. And so if Connor's sitting right here, us three, I'd say the majority of our time should rightly be and is that we shepherd one another. And we're always talking about how we can even do that better and excel still more in that area. So once again, just like everybody here, we should all be working to shepherd one another. And what that looks like is that we're pursuing relationally, right? We've got Romans 12:10. We're counseling biblically. We're admonishing faithfully. We're living authentically. We confess sins and pray for one another, as James 5:16 says. And we're engaging missionally, mostly within the body. And so the majority of what we're doing is that. And the day we stop doing that, just like for you, the day you stop doing that with one another and living out the one another's of Scripture is the day that we're in big trouble. And so that's primarily what we do. After that, on Wednesday mornings, we get together around 7, sometimes 6, and we spend what could be 3, 4, sometimes 5 hours together reviewing just, hey, let's think through decisions like this. Centennial, let's pray through decisions like this. Our great community directors, Tim and Melissa, will come in and they'll say, hey, here's some of the things that we're seeing in community. Pray with us. Help us think through what God's word would say in these situations, right? So we spend a lot of time thinking about doctrine and how God's word speaks to community and different sin struggles and just challenges around conflict or whatever that might be. We help think through that and we pray for you. I think every other Friday we get together and we spend time in prayer, and sometimes we invite other men into that to pray with us for you. And then we engage in pastorals, and some of you may have seen our faces there, just to help come alongside our community teams and help if we can. And that's what we do. And that takes about 20 to 25 hours a week, sometimes 15. And we do it with joy and not with groaning, as it says in Hebrews 13:17, because we love you. And we hope that, once again, those are things that we all should be doing. But when you think about our role and when we think about what it means to become elders, that's what we're doing today. We don't necessarily, based on Titus 1 and kind of the way we're implementing that practically, as I think about just the things we're doing, our role is not going to change as we slide into that elder role as these two bodies come together. And so that was a question we received. And just know that, as Connor's kind of talked about kind of qualifications, I've talked about qualifications for an elder and kind of what that role looks like. You know, we're an elder-led church, but when you hear elder-led, just thinking about Jesus' words in Mark 10:42-45, you are elder-served. We want to serve you guys. And if there's anything we can do to help you become a more fully devoted follower of Jesus, that ultimately is our goal. And that's how we measure success. Is as we become deeper, more fully devoted followers of Jesus, you do as well. And we're here to facilitate that and serve you in that journey and process.
That's good. Yeah, I think we truly are humbled, and we're honored to be able to sit up here and be presented as elders for you guys. And it's an honor and a joy. And so everything that Jeff just said is true, but we take that and we want to run with perseverance. And we have joy in doing everything that he just described. And so one of the things that I didn't say earlier, a story that came out just along those two bullet points that we just touched on was one of the guys on Centennial staff, or I'm sorry, the Centennial transition team, came up to me a month ago or so, and we had just met with some people on their team, and he said, hey, I've got to tell you that in January when we met, I went back in early February, and I was journaling, and he goes, and I just read this last night, and was just thanking God after reading it, that I wrote down in my journal, Connor is a guy that I want to be my pastor. And this is a guy that's significantly older than Connor as well. And so for him to say that and to know where he was 3 weeks prior to that was really encouraging to hear. And again, just a reminder, I know I've said this before, but a reminder that along with everything that we're talking about comes those 50 members that are part of Centennial, that are faithful, devoted followers of Jesus. They're going to lock arms with us, and we're getting 10 acres and a building on that 10 acres. So one of the other questions that came up was, what about the alignment with values, vision, purpose with Centennial versus what Watermarks is? So I would tell you that it was clear from the beginning, at least from the words that we saw, Centennial have inside of their office and what they communicated to us, it was clear that we had the same values. And we've said this multiple times since that meeting, that it's like we were reading the same Bible, and it's like we've been following the same Jesus for all these years, but we haven't locked arms with them yet, which, God willing, we will be able to do that. And so one of the things that was clear was their mission statement. So the picture of what their vision and purpose said was, it said, centering lives on Jesus Christ through genuine community, authentic worship, biblical teaching, and holistic mission. Sounds a lot very similar to something Watermark would put out there. And so as we continued down this road with them, it just became more evident that these weren't just words on a wall. They weren't just words that they spoke, but they lived out these truths. So, and so in saying all of that, once we get our vision and values aligned, should we do this? And so what we would say, what I would say is one of my favorite documents that Watermark has put together that I reference often is the should I questions. So there's, Blake Holmes did a sermon, I don't know, 10 to 15 years ago. And you ask yourself 10 questions, should I do this when making major decisions? And so, and I reference it, like I said, often, and I have other people, believers and non-believers, go to that. One of the questions that is on there is there a better option that would allow me or us as a body to make a greater impact for God's kingdom? Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. So with that question, I would ask you guys, why should we not do it? And follow-up questions from that is, what story could God be writing right now for us? Don't assume that just because something is hard, that it's not God's will. And understand how God has uniquely gifted and resourced each of us and our body during this time. One of the things that comes up when talking about should we do this is location. And so we did a scatter plot of where our body is to where Centennial is and where that acreage is. And a third of our body, it doesn't affect at all. Another third, it gets a little bit closer. And another third, it gets anywhere from 10 to 12 minutes longer. So, and I'm in that camp, and it's okay. So with that, though, we also, with the 10 extra minutes, we also get 10 more acres in Frisco. And so, I told you I'd be touching on a lot. So I would say that convenience is not our filter. When going through this, our filter is how can we be more faithful in pursuing his mission and making more devoted followers of Christ. And I think about regen, I think about re-engage, I think about the table. The table is a ministry that they stepped away from the largest young adults ministry in the country to start their own ministry here called The Table, stepping away from the porch. And it is flourishing. And so re-engage is similar, it's the same material, but they started from just lay leaders building that up. Regen is the same thing. And so convenience is not our filter. Our filter is how we are applying and living out God's word.
I'm just going to hit one more question and we can close. I know we're about to be running over just a little bit, so I'll hit this quickly. Another question we've received, which I think is a great question, is how will we all vote on whether or not this is the right decision? And one of the most comforting things, and I think I mentioned this earlier, and it just continues to be a theme in this whole process, is just how God's moved in the hearts of people. And so we certainly want God to be affirming this in your heart as well. Now, we're a relational people because the Bible calls us to be relational. And we would love to have the opportunity, we talked about some of those opportunities earlier, to have these conversations with you. If you have questions or concerns, we'd love to talk about that and hear that firsthand and be able to dialogue and ask good questions and seek to understand what those would be. But if we miss that somehow, or, you know, last minute something comes to your mind, we will be doing a survey. And it's not a vote, but it's a survey, once again, to see where God is moving in the hearts of people. And on the survey, you'll have two questions. For or against what we're doing, and a required why, free-form text box, where we just want to hear, if you say yes, why would you say yes? If you say, hey, we don't feel like this is the right thing, why would you say that? And that'll just be one more check for us to make sure that we're hearing everything. That serves us really well, and that's been something that served us well.
Yep. So I'm going to close this out in prayer here in just a second. And so one of the questions we heard on Wednesday night was, hey, what can we be doing as a body during this time? And I would say pray. I think of 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, of praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. So be thankful and pray. Pray for our staff. We have an outstanding staff, but pray for them as they go through this transition. Pray for Centennial, pray for us for wisdom and clarity. And so thank you guys. We'll be down front after this, but let me pray us out real quick and we'll talk to you soon. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that you presented to us. Thank you for the body of Christ that makes up this room. Thank you for your sovereignty and your goodness, for giving us the opportunity to come alongside other individuals in Frisco to be your church. Thank you for those members of that body being faithful all these years. Thank you for the members of this body. Lord, we pray that you will stir hearts and allow us to draw closer to you. And during this time, Lord, if at the very least of everything, that we draw closer to you and grow in our relationship and intimacy with you, Lord, it is a win. And so we pray that we will do that together and that we will be your church as we leave here today. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.